So for those of you who do not know me, my name is Joy Marker. The sound guy, Andrew, is my husband. Tomorrow we celebrate 30 years of being married. So if you see him, say thank you for putting up with me for that long. It's been a journey. So we have two teenage boys, so you can also say lots of prayers. During the day, my day job is, I like to say I'm a teacher of tiny humans. Most of you would call that preschool teacher or early childhood education. And I am passionate about gathering in community and just being together with other believers, with other people, and I love to connect, and I love to connect people to find their community. And so I am privileged to be a part of the Women's Ministry Catalyst team here at Connect Church. So, but I will tell you that while gathering in community and connecting with people, and I love to talk to people, I do not love to stand up in public. I would much rather be behind the scenes serving behind a table where nobody could see me. So when God started nudging me and saying, I want you to speak, I kind of pushed back a little bit and I said, well, God, you know the theme is comfort, right? And it would be very ironic of you to ask somebody who's very uncomfortable standing in front of people to speak on comfort. And you know what God said? He asked me if I had maybe read the Bible. That was not an excuse. And here I am standing very uncomfortably in not my normal zone of what I do before you talking about comfort. And since we're into ironies, we're going to start by taking a moment to stop and pause. And I'm going to pray for us as we get started. But I want you, when I finish praying, I want to ask you to just take a moment to think in your mind of words or items or phrases or things that, what do you think of when I say comfort? What is your first go-to word, and just be thinking of that, okay? So, Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the cold of winter, and we're seeking your comfort. Some of us are dealing with physical discomfort, others emotional distress. Some of us are dealing with uncomfortable financial situations. Others of us are feeling very uncomfortable about where we stand spiritually, maybe not even sure what made us come here tonight. Open our hearts to hear the message that we need to hear right now, that you have for each one of us, and providing the comfort that is for us in this season what we need. Just thank you for bringing everybody here. Thank you for gathering us together and for this beautiful community of women and for being present with us in this space. Amen. Okay, so I won't let you be quiet too long because that would make me feel very uncomfortable standing up here having you stare at me. So I teach tiny people, and I'm not used to talking without constant interruption. So I would be grateful if you would be willing to just shout out some words or phrases or thoughts. So just what are some things when you say comfort that just come to your mind? Blankets. Coffee. Slippers. I should have a mic because I can't hear all of you. So, sorry. Huh? Fireplace. A hug.
His bed.
So Some of you think of words of comfort, right? Cozy. Anybody think like rest? I think sleeping. I love to sleep. It's very comforting. Some of us thought of items, fireplaces, warm blankets, slippers, cozy socks. Now, I'm going to ask you another question, but this time I don't want you to say it out loud. I want you to put it in your mind and lock it in your brain and save it for later. That's what we do at preschool. We save it for later. So, how many of you, when you think of comfort, when I say comfort, think of joy in difficult circumstances? That's a kind of an interesting question, I think. So, I'm going to talk to you. We're going to talk about a word for comfort that has popped up in recent years. It's very trendy. You may have heard it. It's a Danish word, so it's been around for a long time, not in America, but it's a Danish word and a concept that they've used. The word is hygge. So I don't know, some of you, it's if you're on social media or stuff, there's like hygge gift baskets and hygge themed games and hygge, we're all into like cozy hygge decor. I've read about half a dozen books on hygge. I got first interested in this starting with the word kosling, which is a lesser known word, which is the Norwegian version of the Danish hygge, on a rabbit trail here because I read in a book and she mentioned a place called Troms in Norway, which Kosling, which is like hygge, was very popular. And my maiden name is Tromsnes, and we are a Norwegian heritage, and that was where my family was from. So I decided I needed to do some research on this because obviously it was in my blood. So hygge, and this idea of cozy and comfort has become a very popular trend in American culture, mostly to sell products, if we're honest, because we're all going to go buy fuzzy blankets because it makes us feel good. And let's be honest, when I ask God for comfort or where I think of comfort, I often translate what I think that warm, fuzzy, fireplace, cozy into my expectation of comfort and God spiritually. I'm generally thinking of, I just want to feel good. I want to feel comfortable. And I love the book of Psalms because it's one of my favorite places to go and find verses that are going to make me feel good. And like Psalms 94:19 says, in a multitude of anxieties within me, your comfort delights my soul. Makes me feel good to read those kind of verses. And God's comfort can be like a warm blanket to our soul. And I could list a dozen of verses that would speak of God's comfort in that way, that just really wrap us in that God's got me kind of blanket. Yet, as I was reading and considering comfort, I found that it goes much deeper and it's a much broader aspect than just wrapping myself in a warm blanket of God's love. Psalm 23:4 says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And here the psalmist is reminding us that in difficult things, we can find comfort knowing that God is our shepherd, that his rod is protecting us, his staff is guiding us, that he's got our backs. In America, the idea of hygge is used to sell cozy home decor and items, but in its country of origin, the Danish would see it as a mindset, a way of embracing cold, long, hard winters and living well from the inside out. And it's not an individual concept. It's not about me going and wrapping myself in a blanket. It's a community rhythm that brings comfort where most people would think a very uncomfortable season weather-wise. God's provision of comfort, as I read in the Bible, finds it moves beyond our individual needing for comfort. But most of us go to that, I want to be wrapped up and I'm going to just huddle at home in my comfort. But his comfort often extends the story to others around us. When we read 2 Corinthians 1:3-4, Paul says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comforts, who comforts us in our troubles so that we comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have been given." Perhaps just as the Heige definition extends beyond our individual comfort and cozy feeling, God's comfort is given in a way that extends our story to our greater community beyond us. So I want to look at Lazarus. Lazarus, the story of Lazarus in John 11, you know, Lazarus got sick. His sisters called Jesus and said, "Come heal him." Jesus delayed. And we don't really think of that story as a comforting story. But, you know, Jesus, had he not delayed, he could have prevented Lazarus' death. But he chose a different way to bring comfort. He didn't avoid their discomfort in the grief that they had in their brother's death. He let Lazarus die, and then he came to them. But when he showed up, he wept with them. He grieved with them. He sat with them in their pain and their tears, and he showed them compassion. But then in raising Lazarus from the dead, he also was able to reveal God's glory, and the greater community was impacted by Lazarus' story and Mary and Martha's story. Now, remember my earlier question, and how many of us consider comfort through joy in difficult circumstances, you know, like going through a death of a loved one. Most of us aren't going to have the luxury of Jesus showing up and raising him from the dead. But I think that whole, we do know that even when we experience that kind of grief, that it may not be a grief prevented, but God's going to show up and he's going to grieve with us and he's going to be there. And joy in difficult circumstances is not generally where I go when I think of the word comfort. But if you research the Danish version of Heige more deeply, you will find that it is a mindset. And they say things like, Heige would be a mindset that if you can't find joy in the cold of winter, guess what? You'll have less joy, but you're still gonna have a really cold winter. And often we pray for comfort in the form of healing and relief, and we say, I don't want to go through this, God. Take it away from me. And I believe that God wants us to pray for that. I believe that he wants us to be honest with him and to ask him for that kind of comfort. And sometimes he heals, and sometimes he prevents, and sometimes he will show up in the way that we expect it. But sometimes our stories look a little bit more like Lazarus and Mary and Martha, and God's comfort might not arrive in the time or the way that we expected. God's story for us is generally far greater than we dare to imagine in our human capacity, and we have no idea what he is doing and what work he is doing in and through us and around us. And he also wants to have a relationship with us, and he wants to be there with us and walk with us in our situations, in our struggles, in our grief. One of my favorite quotes by Anne Boskamp in The Greatest Gift, in her book, The Greatest Gift, and as the cold can move you closer to the fire, struggling can move you deeper towards God, who warms you with joy. Because here's the thing, if God just steps in and he's like, okay, I'm going to make it so that you never have to go anything hard, when really, how often do we need to seek God's comfort? The reality is, when we're uncomfortable and struggling, we are more likely to seek God's comfort, and we're more likely to seek him, and we're more likely to build our relationship with him. And unfortunately, having God's comfort doesn't mean that we get to stay home wrapped in a warm blanket and never be uncomfortable. But let's look at some more aspects of comfort. I'm going to butcher this because I do not know Greek or Hebrew, and so I'm just going to say these words, and they probably sound nothing like this. But the Greek word paregoria, which translates to comfort in the New Testament, is very close to the idea of the Holy Spirit, or it's a word used as one always present as a helper. In the Old Testament, the most common word translated as comfort, neshama, also can be translated as consolation, encouragement, the idea of being strengthened morally and spiritually, or to console one who is in distress. Now, 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4, Paul says, God is our source of comfort, but he doesn't just provide us comfort so that we can snuggle up in our cozy blankets next to a fire and feel good. The verse doesn't stop there with comfort. He comforts us in all troubles so that we can comfort others. So, you know, when God told me, asked me if I had read the Bible, I started thinking of all those stories that we learn in Sunday school. If you grew up in Sunday school, and it's like Moses in the burning bush, or Esther, Gideon. I could just go through the prophets and everything. And I started thinking about their stories. In Exodus 3, God said to Moses, I have indeed heard the cry of my people, and I see how the Egyptians are oppressing them. Now I am sending you to the king of Egypt so that you can lead my people out of his country. But Moses said to God, I am nobody. How can I go to the king and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? God answered, I will be with you, and when you bring the people out of Egypt, you will worship me on this mountain, and that will be proof that I have sent you. We go to Judges chapter 6, and God said to Gideon, go in strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hands. And Gideon responded saying, pardon me, my Lord, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest of Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. And the Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. I could go on. There's so many stories in the Bible like this. These stories that sound all too familiar, like when I so wisely told God that this theme on comfort was not an appropriate theme for me to speak on because I was very uncomfortable standing up here. It seems that God uses those of us who feel unqualified and uncomfortable, inviting us to move forward with his strength and comfort. A Google search on comfort will likely render you a definition such as a physical state of ease, freedom from pain or constraints, freedom from worry or distress. And honestly, when I think of comfort, I most quickly go to the physical aspects, especially in winter when you're freezing cold and you think of sitting by a warm fire wrapped in a blanket with a book, maybe your slippers or fuzzy socks. Yet, you know, real life with God doesn't always feel that kind of comfortable. In fact, in some seasons, it can feel really, really hard. But while the world gives us a definition of comfort that says we should have freedom from stress or pain, consider that perhaps God's comfort is deeper than a provision of temporary relief. God's comfort isn't always about avoiding circumstances, but rather it's about his being with us in our circumstances. If we apply the concept of hygge, they might put it this way. We can choose to feel anxious and uncomfortable in our circumstances, but our circumstances will likely not go away. And then we'll just be anxious and uncomfortable anyway. So what if we looked at God's provision of comfort differently than the world's definition of comfort? 2 Corinthians 1:5 says, for as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in his comfort too. God's comfort does not take away challenges, does not mean we get to feel comfortable as the world defines comfort. Rather, it reminds us that he is sovereign, and his sovereign goodness is with us in the midst of our suffering and our hard stories. Psalm 23, your rod, a symbol of protection, your staff, a symbol of guidance, it comforts me. And we remember the Greek word paragoria, if I say it correctly, the word translated in the New Testament, the idea of one ever present. When we have the Holy Spirit, God's comfort is ever present in times of trouble. We always have access to God's comfort. And like when we're cold, we move closer to the heat source, the fire. When we are struggling, we move closer to God in our struggles so that He can wrap us in joy. And let's not stop there. Because remember, God says, I will be with you, and His comfort is given so that we can then comfort others going out into the world. And that joy that He has wrapped us in can extend into our community, comforting others with the comfort that we ourselves have been given. So comfort can be very complicated. It's more than just cozying up next to a fireplace with a book and a warm blanket and feeling really good about life right now. So to recap, God's comfort is like a warm blanket for our souls, like we read in Psalm 94. There's an aspect where God gives us that comfort where we can feel like He's wrapping us in His joy and His love. God's comfort is ever present. If we have the Holy Spirit in us, we always have access to it. We simply need to move closer to Him in our relationship so that He can wrap us in that joy. The psalmist reminds us that we can find comfort in knowing God is our shepherd, that His rod is protecting us and His staff is guiding us. God's comfort reminds us of His sovereign goodness in the midst of those difficult circumstances. And God's comfort helps us to courageously move forward so that through us, God might bring comfort to others. Most of the world doesn't care really how we're reacting and relating with God when life is really, really good. What they notice is how we're relating and acting in our lives when life is really, really hard. So that's a lot of different things on comfort that I've just probably rambled and thrown out there. But I think it's just a beautiful example of how we sometimes come to God with a certain expectation, and when we start digging into it, we realize we already have everything that we need. He's already given us everything that we need. And we just have to move closer to that fire so that we can receive it and be wrapped in that joy. Before I close my time here in prayer, I'm going to just talk to you a little bit. We are going to move into the sanctuary for a time of worship. I know that we're going to want to chit-chat and talk. I'm the worst offender of that because there's all these people here I want to talk to. But just to keep the spirit of worship in this time that we've had together, if we could save our conversations for after and just gather all of our belongings. We want to gather our belongings because some generous gentlemen are going to come start helping clean up for us while we're in there. And so gather our belongings and move into the worship center after I finish praying. And then we can enjoy a time of worship in there together. So thank you. We are grateful that you are here tonight. We are grateful that you have chosen to be here instead of at home next to your fire watching the Chiefs game. So let's praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Whatever discomfort you may be experiencing in your life, may you experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. In the multitude of your anxieties, may God's comfort delight and bring joy to your soul. May you know God is your refuge and strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. And as you are comforted, may you seek to comfort others in their trouble. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for bringing us here. Thank you for your presence, for your comfort, for the fact that you can do so much more than we can even dare to imagine. And I just pray that you would give each lady here the comfort that they need and then allow that comfort to work in them and through them out in their communities and their families and in their environments that they are in. And I just thank you for being with us. Continue to be with us in our time of worship. In Jesus' name, amen.